Chapter 11. Sally jogged across Richmond Park. The ground was too uneven to risk running at full speed, but even at her pace of about 6 miles an hour, she was sure her pursuers wouldn't be able to catch her on foot. Every few minutes or so, she looked over her shoulder, but there was no one following her. The rest of the time, she concentrated on the ground ahead of her, making sure that she avoided any pitfalls. She eventually reached Wimbledon Common, then headed north to Putney Heath. She kept the most wooded tracks as she headed towards the Green Man pub. Reaching the edge of the heath, she peered through the trees. The area in front of the pub was used by buses waiting to service the routes to and from central London. There were three double-deckers lined up, their engines running. One was a number 14, which ran over Putney Bridge to Fulham and eventually onto Russell Square. On the rare occasions she didn't run to or from work, the number 14 was her bus of choice. For now, she needed to cross the river, and the bus was probably the best way of doing it. She lifted her left hand and spoke to her Apple Watch. "Call Ian Hadley," she said. She looked at the watch and frowned, then pressed the side button to cancel the call. How had they found her at the Kingston House? They hadn't followed her. She was sure of that. And the locations of the premises linked to MI5's legends were classified. The only people she had spoken to were Louise and Ian Hadley. She hadn't told Louise where she was when she spoke to her, so Hadley was the only person who'd have known her location. Had he betrayed her? Was he behind the attack on the house? And if he was, did he have the backing of his bosses? She shook her head, annoyed at her overactive imagination. Sally wasn't a great one for conspiracy theories. She was 100% sure that bin Laden had been behind the 9/11 attacks, that Diana had died in a simple car accident, and that men had walked on the moon. It made no sense at all for MI5 to be killing off its own people. Her frown deepened as she walked. The black SUVs had intercepted her Uber car. She'd assumed that had just been bad luck, but it must have been more than that. She'd been wearing the wig and the parka. There was no way they could have recognized her. If they'd been outside the house when the Uber arrived, they could have followed her, but she'd been very careful to make sure that they weren't around. They'd come from nowhere when they'd been driving by the common. How had they found the car? She looked at her Apple Watch again. GPS. The watch and her phone could both be tracked. It wasn't easy to do, but the men in the black SUVs looked like professionals and might well have access to the technology. If she didn't ditch the watch and the phone, then it wouldn't matter where she went or what disguise she wore. They would always be able to find her. She took out her phone, scrolled through to settings, and chose Erase All Content in Settings to remove all her data. Then she took off her watch. She considered throwing the phone and the watch away, but then she had a better idea. There were two teenagers standing by the bus stop, looking as if they were up to no good, and they both squinted at her as she walked up to them, smiling brightly and slipping the watch into her pocket. One of them had a hand-rolled cigarette, and as she got closer, she could smell the earthy aroma of cannabis. He cupped his hand around the joint and held it behind his back as she walked over. "Hi, guys," she said. She held out her phone. "Did either of you guys lose an iPhone X?" The taller of the two lads narrowed his eyes and looked at her suspiciously. "What?" She held up the phone. "I found it earlier when I was on the common. I was going to hand it in to the police."
"Let me have a look,"
said the shorter one. He was wearing a puffer jacket with the hood up. Sally gave it to him. Then she reached into her pocket and took out the watch. "There was this watch with it," she said. "It was on the grass, like somebody lost it." The taller one took the watch and examined it. He was wearing a New York Yankees jacket and a matching cap, with baggy jeans and gleaming white high-top Nikes.
"Yeah, that's mine," he said.
"Oh, great," said Sally. "That was lucky, me finding you."
"Yeah, we was over on the common before. I must have dropped it."
He already had a garish gold watch on his left wrist, so he put the Apple Watch on his right. He had to struggle to use his left hand to fasten the strap. What about the phone? She asked.
Yeah, I dropped that, said the guy in the puffer jacket. We were doing some exercises and it must have fell out.
Exercises?
Yeah, Tai Chi, that Chinese shit.
He slipped the phone into his pocket.
Thanks, girl.
Sally smiled. I'm glad I could help, she said. A number 37 bus pulled up at the stop and the door rattled open. The two guys hurried on. She gave them a small wave.
You have a great day.
As they walked down the bus, she heard them laughing. Then the door closed and the bus drove off. Sally looked around. There were plenty of cars speeding both ways along the A219, and many of them were SUVs. But there were no black Outlanders. The number 14 bus was still parked opposite, but the driver was reading a copy of The Sun and chewing on a sandwich, so he didn't appear to be in a hurry. There were three schoolgirls sitting in the bus shelter, gossiping away about boys and why they were so annoying. And an old lady stood by the side of the shelter muttering to herself. The shelter was in full view of the road, so she walked to the Green Man's beer garden and stood by the side of the pub. She could feel her heart pounding, and she took several slow breaths to calm herself down as she considered her options. She actually didn't have that many, but her first priority had to be to get off the streets.